want to tell you something this morning. You may know this and you may not. You may have already embraced it totally and you may have not really understood it. But I just want to say something to you that's so extremely important that everybody knows if you're planning to go on with God and serve Him in power, hear His voice, make His name great in the earth, you need the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus gave the disciples specific instructions for their first step to take. All right, now I want you to go and preach the gospel into the whole world. But first, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there for the promise of the Father. So much that we endeavor to do today has been done without waiting for the promise of the Father first. So much is done through simply the intellect, the programs, the good ideas, copying after what somebody else did, trial and error. And sometimes, you know, I don't blame people for getting worn out with church. I would too. If I had to try to do it, I talked to a man once. He said, I just quit church. I was just worn out. I had to come in and put the chairs up and put the speakers up and take them all down. And I had to see about this and take care of that. And I thought, well, what is this all about? Well, I want you to know that serving Jesus is not about putting the chairs up and the speakers down. Serving Jesus is about getting full of the Holy Ghost so you can hear what He wants you to do, so you can be empowered to do that, so you can enter into another realm, another life altogether, and see the supernatural actually occur in our midst, working with the angels and doing it God's way, as Andre was encouraging us today. Trusting Him. In Acts 1, 4, and 5, it says, being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. One amazing thing is that Jesus gives the wonderful promise. He told us about it in the book of John before we ever get here to the book of Acts. Everybody's looking forward to it. We know it's what people need in order to go out and do what He's commissioned them to do. In those days, they just did it. They just received it. They just did it. But because it's been so many years now from that, it has turned into doctrinal controversy. There's no controversy about it once you come into the truth, and once the Holy Ghost begins to move, it melts away all the confusion. Controversy comes because the intellect gets into it and confuses the issue. You know, people that have the largest churches in the world, it's churches that are full of the Holy Ghost. It's churches that have given themselves to prayer and seeking God and allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to direct them and to order their paths. In America, we have some mega churches, but it's a very small percentage compared to all the churches we have in America. And the reason that we can't break through those barriers is because we don't embrace God's way of exploding through the hindrances. And they have done this in other countries, and that's why it is not that it's another culture. It is that they have obeyed the word of the Lord. Guess what? We can't have another culture. This is America. This is where we live. But we can obey God. Isn't that great to know? We can have exactly what they can have in the same way. So it was absolutely necessary that the disciples receive the Holy Spirit before they began their ministry, and He told them to wait in Jerusalem. Jesus had promised it to the disciples in John 14, and here's what He said in verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter or advocate who will never leave you. Isn't that great? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You know what we just saw in Boston the last several days? It happened because truth was not found. Only the Holy Spirit, think about it, leads into all truth. I was in a place of business yesterday, and I just saw people straining over that issue. One woman was saying, But why would they do that? And I said, because their religion tells them, they think, to do this. I know, but how is it possible that they could do this thing anyway? And I said, because they have been taught this until they have a different paradigm from which to think from what we do. Therefore, we can't get into their minds. We can never understand them. But we can know the truth. Thank God we can know the truth. And the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. This is what Jesus told the disciples in the book of John. He's with you now, but he's going to be in you. Now, we haven't always operated like we have the Holy Spirit in us. Although he's in us, we sometimes just go right along as if the flesh knew anything. And we yield to that flesh and we respond the way the flesh wants us to. And we let the carnal mind, which is God's enemies, make our decisions. Really, just stop and think about it. When you think about doing things, do you really consult God? Do you really let the Holy Spirit lead you? Or do you just make your decisions? Well, let me ask you this. Do you make a lot of mistakes? If you do, you could be doing your own thinking. Just a thought. When the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, the church now had what the Old Testament saints had never experienced. What a day that was. The Holy Spirit came upon them in the Old Testament as individuals at times and empowered them. But this was completely different what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said the Holy Spirit had been with the disciples, and from time to time he was with the Old Testament saints. But he said there's coming a day that he's going to be in you, he said to the disciples. Now, he wasn't in the Old Testament saints. He did come upon them from time to time. But they couldn't have the Holy Spirit in them because Jesus hadn't done the work of Calvary. He hadn't ascended to heaven. He hadn't sent back the Holy Ghost. Everything had to happen in its time. Some Christians, though, still live their lives like Old Testament saints, without the glorious power and provision of the Spirit in them. Before the day of Pentecost, the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit in them. The disciples that were walking with Jesus did not have the Holy Spirit in them. He was just with them. In John 16, it says in verse 6, "But in fact, it is best for you," verse 7, "that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. And if I go away, then I will send him to you." Jesus went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. How many of you know how much we need that today? Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me again no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. But there is so much more I want to tell you, he said in verse 12, but you can't bear it now. So Jesus said, really, I want to tell you a lot of other things, he said in John 16, but it would blow your head off if I told you now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, wherever Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and John 16, the first thing he talks about is getting truth. This is the first point in the Holy Spirit, in our receiving the Holy Spirit. We'll get truth about everything because the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. Do you know why we don't know Jesus, or why we only know him partially? Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. And you can't really know Jesus. Some people will say, you know, I come to church, but I don't seem to get much out of it. You need the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. And notice it. guide. It's not just show you, but he'll guide you like you take a little baby by its arms and you guide it. Sometimes you don't even know why you are where you are and how you ended up there. And you look around and find yourself here in this church one day. How in the world did I get here? The Holy Spirit took you by the arms and guided you. That's what he does in our lives. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, that doesn't just mean about the things that are going to come before the end. He's going to tell you about tomorrow. He's going to tell you about the next year or two and how he wants you to line yourself up and the things that he wants you to be involved in. When the Lord continues to give us vision, as I preached last Sunday, that comes through the Holy Spirit. So he keeps showing us things to come. Aren't you glad we've got a vision about the things the Holy Spirit is planning to bring our way? He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me, Jesus said. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, I want to say this morning that the disciples really needed the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit, but the disciples needed the Holy Spirit. They really did need the Holy Spirit because the disciples did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, and they were not able to understand the things of the Spirit. Did you know that your understanding is very limited without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, when you're born again, you do receive of the Spirit. The scripture says if you don't have of the Spirit, you're not born again. You are born again by the Spirit of God. But then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings you to the place where the Holy Spirit is now in you, working in you, speaking to you, revealing things to you. When you read the Word, causing those words to be revealed to you. The disciples didn't have that. Did you guys ever get the feeling when you were reading in the Gospels that you're smarter than Peter? But I want to tell you something. You are. You are smarter than Peter was then. Peter got smart after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter had only limited revelation. He loved Jesus so much, one day he got this shaft of light, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'm going to show you how it is when you have the Holy Spirit with you, but not in you. And Jesus said, "That is great, Peter. You have made my day. This is tremendous." Then he talks to them about he's going to the cross, and Peter said, "That'll never happen." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." This is mixed revelation. But now listen carefully. After Peter receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and tells everybody what it means, where it came from, quotes Joel, what they need to do, what's wrong with the Pharisees, comes right down the line till 3,000 people say, "We give up." What happened to Peter? He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, "This is that which is prophesied by the prophet Joel." Oh, I'm telling you, the disciples really needed the Holy Spirit. You know why you need the Holy Spirit? For courage. Thomas, you need the Holy Spirit for doubts. Now, I'm not going to believe him unless I can put my finger in his hand where the hole is and put my hand in his side where he was wounded. I'm not going to believe, but that was before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you the one that just blows me away. Three times before Jesus was crucified, he told him it was going to happen. And then he was going to be raised again from the dead. And they joined hands and with all accord responded, duh. Now, I want to say this is as far out as can be. They didn't get it. What does it mean to say I'm going to die and the third day I'm going to rise again? So even when he does rise again, the women come and tell the disciples who are there because they're so afraid because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they're without courage to do what they need to do, aren't we, a lot of times? Because we need to be full of the Holy Ghost to overcome all the lies of the enemy because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so they are there hiding. And the women come and say, we have seen Jesus. And we know now he has risen from the dead. But the scripture says that those women were to the disciples like they were just having a dream. It is the disciples that need to come out of the dream. And they're dreaming the wrong thing. Because they've come to tell them, wouldn't you think that when they came with all that excitement, the disciples would say one to the other, you know, that is right. He did mention that, didn't he? Yeah, in fact, he mentioned it that other time, remember? Yeah, and then there was that other time. And now I'm thinking, why didn't anybody remember anything? Because the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Our memory about the things of God's not worth a fooey without the Holy Spirit. Because the devil works all the time to make you remember things you shouldn't remember. You need the Holy Ghost to drive out the wrong thoughts and to keep you in the right thoughts. You see, in order to believe in the resurrection, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people hear about Jesus being resurrected, and man, it sounds like a great story. If it could only be true, this is why people come to church on Easter. Yeah, they just want to honor that wonderful story. But unless you really give your heart and life fully to him, you don't believe it. And it takes the Holy Spirit to cause faith, conviction to come. Then when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we walk in resurrected life. Now we know how to believe in the resurrection. Because the scripture says that we died with him. We were buried with him. Romans 6. And when he rose again from the dead, we rose with him. So we've risen in resurrection power. And you know, another thing is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It sounds like Jesus was disappointed, but he was just making an observation. Because he knows everything and he knew they were going to do it. And he said, you couldn't even watch with me an hour in the time of my need. You know, here Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And it's his last hour. And they fall asleep. Wouldn't we? Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll fall asleep too. You'll fall asleep all the time when you should be awake. I don't let you fall asleep when I preach. If I see anybody falling asleep, I'm going to do like Spurgeon. Say, fire! This really happened. And some man jumped straight up and said, where? He said, in hell for people that sleep in church. I take the responsibility to keep you awake when I'm preaching for this time. They couldn't watch with him because they didn't have the capacity to bear the burden because they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were overwhelmed. And you know, Peter didn't just have character issues. He was confused in having part revelation and not really fully understanding. He was also a man lacking in courage. And he even said he didn't know Jesus, even cursed. He needed the power of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you somebody else that needed the Holy Spirit. You know, there's some people that don't know this. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's the way it works. Let me tell you a little something. Of the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, each one has their work to do. Each one has their own personality, and each one has their own work to do. The Holy Spirit has a certain work to do, and Jesus doesn't do what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just said, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to take care of this whole thing, Father, so that your Son can be conceived. So that he can be born. And the Holy Spirit stayed with Jesus even when the time came. He, the scripture says, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy. He led him into the wilderness. Why did he need to go into the wilderness? Well, I heard Chris Ballatin say this the other day. Bill Johnson's associate. He said, there was a day that we started getting all of these openings. People wanted us to do these TV programs and all of this that would give us a lot of exposure. Sounded like it might have been a few years ago. And he said, we got together as a leadership team and we realized we were not ready for this kind of exposure. Why is that? Because if God hasn't worked things in you and brought you to a place of humility, knowing who you are, knowing who God is, and that it's God who does it and not you, if that's not worked in you before men start lifting you up, then you're getting ready for a fall and destruction. And they said that they realized this is the way Chris said it, we realized it wasn't quite time for us to come out of the wilderness. Some people don't think they ever have to go through any wildernesses. Well, I'm going to tell you something that is going to cause you to come into a wilderness one day. Breathing in and out. You won't miss it any more than I did. And in order for the Lord to bring us to the place where we can be trusted in our usefulness, we must go through times of testing. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And when you are tempted, it is for the purpose of testing. Now, I said something there that you need to really consider, so when you feel like putting on your whining and pining clothes, you say, you know, I could be going through something. I think, Holy Spirit, help me. I think the pastor said something about a wilderness. You're not going to escape it. You can even go to a church that doesn't believe in wildernesses. And the pastor will run off with some other woman. And there you are sitting in a wilderness that you never thought you'd get in because I don't even believe in wildernesses there. See what I'm saying? I've just known things like that to happen. I really like the concept of this, Jesus needing the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove and anointed him. The Holy Spirit came down on Jesus and anointed him with power. Why? Because he needed it. Isn't that amazing? He was Jesus. I know, but Jesus did all the miracles he did here on earth as a spirit-filled man. And that's what it's all about, is that he lived the life to show us what the Father intends for us. And without mixture, we can have the fullness without measure. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with us. You know, maybe Jesus would have still been in that tomb if the Holy Spirit hadn't gotten him out. Because the scripture says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. And so on that third day, the precious Holy Spirit came silently into that tomb and entered the pulseless, lifeless Son of God and raised him up in resurrection power. Jesus needed that. He needed resurrection. It was the Holy Spirit that did it. Did you know the Holy Spirit is delighted that I'm telling you this? I mean, that's just what he just spoke to me. He said, this is delightful. Jesus cast out devils by the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. The Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, the scripture says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the enemy, and he did this in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so important to understand that there are things the Holy Spirit does for us, and only he can do it. What does that mean? That means then if I don't have the Holy Spirit, and if I'm not full of and baptized in the Holy Spirit, then those things won't be done for me. I must have those things done for me. Now I want to just close by saying what he does for us. You know, of course, we've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. We can't be saved if the Holy Spirit does not regenerate us. You can make all the dedications, you can fill out all the cards you want to. But if you don't wait on God and press through to him and get the Holy Spirit to really save you till you are born again, you'll just be the same old person who has filled out a card. The things Jesus specifically mentioned is that he would guide us into all truth, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, show you things to come, and tell you what Jesus has told him. In 14:26, but when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Jesus calls him the Comforter, one to walk alongside, to be with you. And he said, and the good news is now he's going to be in you. And he said, now Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. That's the Greek word orphanos, orphans. There's a lot of orphans in the church today. I just want to tell you this, church. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you feel that orphan spirit. You feel disconnected. You feel like you don't belong. You feel lonely. But what a companion and a comfort the wonderful Holy Spirit is. I will not leave you comfortless. He takes away the spirit of orphanage and makes us know we belong, and that he will supply everything we need. He adds, and I will teach you all things and bring all things that I've said to your remembrance. You know, putting this together, Jesus told the disciples he would send a comforter or an advocate who would reveal the things of Jesus, teach and guide us into all truth, show us things to come, help us remember things we've learned, and comfort us with his very presence. Is that a good deal or what? And I want to ask you, does anybody need this? Lord, we need this. We need this comforting present. We need to know that we are not orphans. We need you to teach us. We need you to guide us. You know, last week I talked about how the Spirit works in the church and the fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, all those things the Holy Spirit does for us. But he doesn't do those things for people that are not full of the Holy Ghost. You can go to a church, they might even preach that, but if the people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not ever going to happen. They can talk about it. But in order for this to happen, you have to have the Holy Spirit yourself. And every person in the church, this is the Father's gift to you. It came on Pentecost. It's what Jesus had to have. It's what we have to have. It's what the disciples didn't have. It's why they made the mistake and had the lacks they did. An interesting thing, too, is that after they were in Gethsemane, the soldiers came to take Jesus away, and the scripture says, and they all fled. That means John too. Peter and James. The three left. They all left. Everybody fled. I'd like to know a little more about one that the scripture mentions that still tried to follow Jesus. It's in your Bible. It says, but one who was wearing only a tunic tried to follow Jesus, and when the soldiers reached out to grab him too, he fled naked, leaving his tunic. You know what I think? I think it's you need to keep on trying to follow Jesus. And if you allow people not to let you follow him, then all you have left to do is run naked. You don't even have the covering you came in with. I wonder who that guy was. I'm so intrigued by him. I will. Hallelujah. And he'll have on a tunic to beat all of them, won't he? Better than Joseph's coat. We're not going to have these things that I'm telling you today without the Holy Spirit. But I just can imagine all the disciples left Jesus. But we would too. The reason the martyrs didn't leave Jesus because they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amazing, isn't it? Paul shows us that the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. He seals the work that God has done in our lives. The book of Romans tells us the Holy Ghost prays through us and knows how weak we are, so prays for us. I like what Yongi Cho says about praying in tongues. Actually, the way he said it was like this. I said to Joan, you know, I'm going to tell the people just exactly what Cho said. I want to say to our people, you guys pray too much in Korean, and you need to pray more in tongues. We pray too much in English. Here's the thing. He said, when you pray in your own language, you run out of words. But he said, if you pray in tongues, you can pray all night long. And you can give yourself to the Holy Spirit to pray through you. I like what Cho says about praying in tongues. He said, I just tell my friends, and he said, I have many friends, I have pastor friends, who don't speak in tongues. But I just have to say openly, I firmly am convinced that anyone can speak in tongues who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit and desires to. Oh, you need this prayer language. By allowing the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, and only by that, we can become mature sons. There's some people in the church you'd say are mature saints. You are just not worried that they're going to come to service drunk, or you're going to open up the paper and read that they've robbed a bank, and you feel pretty confident because you've seen their lives for all these years. Furthermore, they help you. They lead you in things. Why is that? The scripture says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Mature sons allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. We haven't worried much about the leadership of the Holy Spirit because really we're Americans. And we've learned to be self-sufficient. But as the things keep happening in our nations, we might wake up and realize we really need God. This nation really needs God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, for you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a good news today is you become a mature son when the Holy Spirit leads you, because you have received a spirit that cries out to the Father from inside of you and makes you know that you are a son. So you cry out, Father, 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 because he is in you and you are no longer under the spirit of orphanage. Now, I just want to say this to you, and I want you to, all of you, take it seriously about the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to leave today without telling you how you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's as simple as repent, obey, ask. And then believe and receive. It is not for the unrepentant or the disobedient. If you're not really going to serve God, he's not going to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. And if you're not willing to repent, he's not going to come in there and live with your sins. But it's the gift that has been given for God's people. And I thank God for the gift of the Father that the Old Testament saints didn't have, that the disciples hadn't received yet, that even Jesus needed, and that you and I must have. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our hearts in his presence for just a moment. I wonder if you would put us on some music about the Holy Spirit, if you have something